No Time Checks, Just Vibes. We're back for Sample Access Podcast, episode number 11. Feels good. Started like play, but we've been doing this for a minute.
Yeah, right.
I'm always so anxious to get to that, you know, Joe Rogan energy. That 95, that 206 episodes.
I don't know why
I'm jumping, but yeah. Thank you to our loyal listeners. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for always tuning in to the platforms where we reach you on, where we distribute the podcast. The Sample Access Podcast is about music traveling through times, how music from yesteryears come back to these times through new artists, innovative artists who try to sample, you know, bring back old sounds. There is creative work being done on one side, and there is sometimes lazy work being done by some lazy guys who just try to do a rip-off and, you know, take a sound entirely and then make a hit out of it. But of course, like we always say, there's nothing bad in sampling. Nelson, welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is episode 11. Seems like we're in episode 50 already, but man, it feels good. So let's just, you know, get to it. Time PS, let's get into business immediately. So we have something really not so
not so loud.
Yeah, it's just because I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, okay,
not so loud.
But I mean, sampling
is sampling. But it's something.
Yeah, sampling is sampling. And I think we're going to be touching on a particular part of music that we have not really gone into. I don't think we have done any Yoruba vibes like that.
But we did late barista.
That was different entirely. That's like Fuji.
It's not different, but it's
Fuji
Yoruba.
Now it's Fuji, but this
but are
is
we
like
seeing a full Yoruba sample.
This Ayokwe Meji now, the chorus and everything.
No, that's not, you can't call that Yoruba. Yoruba is like part of Nigerian pop culture. Yoruba is, so you don't say, I don't know how to say this, but it's already regular. It's like English language. I don't know how to say this, but YC was on the song.
Yeah,
YC
yeah.
had a full verse in English, you know.
I think there's a difference. We'll get to that though.
Yeah, that would be interesting to talk about. But Tijan, the man who had a great year in 2016-2017, back-to-back hit.
Yeah,
we need to talk about that.
Yeah,
he sampled Omarion. But you're talking about the title being Yoruba.
Yeah. I don't think that's what I'm saying. But I do
it's
know
titled
that
Meiji. But I do lot know that, of the lyrics.
Have we done apart from SAB? Have we done any other artist that named the song like a Yoruba name?
Let me try to remember.
I doubt it. He may be maintained alone.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that I've done, and that's like complete like Yoruba
stuff. I like the
episode. What episode 2 or 3?
Chokolabi was episode 3.
That
was Premier Gao.
That's one of our best episodes so far.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I think it can, a lot of people can relate to it. A few people messaged me, they said they were enjoying the Chokolabi episode, and you know, cool, because it transcends, you know, country to country.
Yeah,
and it was a big sound at the time.
Yeah,
I like how diverse this is, and I feel we really should keep it that way. I mean, we have done iPhone 65 from Italy, we have done Premier Gao from Cote d'Ivoire, we have touched on Sauti Sol from Kenya. So
I just thought about it. I think we need to do Angelique Kidjo some point.
I mean, there
we have to do Angelique Kidjo some
maybe
point.
Later in
maybe next season, or even if before we wrap up the season, we might just
can touch
be inspired.
On, you know, it shows how global music is. I was listening to, by the way, this is a timestamp, Wizkid's album dropped last night, about 5 hours ago. So I jammed it almost immediately, and I could see how good Afrobeat is now.
Or has evolved.
How big a global sound it is. Because the song with Damian Marley.
Ah, Damian Marley's Blessed was
put,
Blessed it was.
I just imagine
good.
Anyone in Japan or New York or anywhere in the world vibing to that sound. This is a global sound.
Yeah.
This is music.
Yeah, Blessed.
The same
Blessed
way you talk about rock music, the same way you talk about Caribbean music, the same way you talk about EDM. There is a genre in the world right now that is called Afrobeat, and it's good vibes.
So Tijan featuring YC Meji. Do you know, I don't know what year Tijan did at Duke. Is that 2015 or 2016?
15 or 16 now.
Yeah, but like I do know that's the first
but
song
that was
Tijan.
The first song. Me too. At Duke came out, it was big.
I think there was a video and the video was really like, you
and
know
from
I,
there there was another song that came out. It's like Tosin Martin's when he came out.
Yeah,
Tosin Martin's that love, that big love song.
Yeah. I was actually thinking that
it's like Oruka for Sonny Neji. So
you know, Sonny Neji was already an OG before Oruka.
I'm just talking about love songs that have timestamps.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true. You know, because Aduke is that song you might probably want to play for your girlfriend when you want to get married.
Like Aduke, you know, but
yeah, right. But I mean, you would want to play Aduke for your maybe babe when you want to, because he talks about a part where he's going on his knees, I know, yeah, trying to propose, will you marry me?
Yeah.
Really cool stuff, you know. I think even
it's too mushy for me though.
It's too. Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Hardcore people.
I'm not so hard because I talked about, you know, one of the episodes I mentioned, you know.
Since you just said mushy, I just pity you because they are the next people are going to.
Bro, by the way, there is actually no hard guy anywhere.
You think so?
There is no. See, hard guy, if you find that woman, you just soft anyway. Hey, get, hard guy.
You calm down.
You just calm down. All your muscles will calm down. I just wanted to pass this, my biggest Nigerian love song that I truly, truly appreciate, Two Face Outside. I like that song.
Yeah.
Unstoppable album.
One of the songs that I really like, love songs. I think Sonny Niji's Uruka has to be like number one in terms of Nigeria. And I don't know, if you love me, you go wait for me. Yeah, I understand that, but that's also a vibe, because King Sonny Ade and Onyeka Onwenu, that's one song that, you know, people actually listen to all the time. And
but that song was too, I don't know, they were too conscious of, you know, I don't want to give birth to a baby and we can't take care of it. They were so conscious. When you're in love, you're crazy, you're not thinking.
Oh wow.
So wow. I'm like, yo,
you're really pointing out the flaws of the maestros
not flaws. I'm saying a love song is, you lose your mind.
People need to know the reason why we're talking about love songs is because I think Tijan actually
his breakout song was a love song.
So it's I don't know, it's normal for us to actually say, yeah, Tijan is known today because of the love song he brought out. And every other song after that time, I really didn't catch up so much. I actually thought I was one of those people that was going to stick with Tijan and enjoy his vibe all the way. But after Aduke, his music didn't like get to me so much until maybe later, I think 2016, when this Meiji came out. I know Meiji had that short term, you know, that it was crazy everywhere, but it was really short term.
And this was the same time YC was popping.
Yeah, YC was popping as at that time too. Talking about 2016 should be Two More Juice too, right?
Yeah,
Juice with Mali Berry. So 2016 YC was a big guy, right? Tiny Entertainment. I really thought that guy was making money. There was a time where I saw a stuff on, I think, Facebook. Yeah, 2016. Nobody should, you know, look at me as an old god. Yeah, I was using Facebook in 2016. So I saw something on
randomly.
I don't think you should say that outside though.
I still use it.
But moving on. Last,
Facebook is the biggest market.
Yeah, well, for market.
Twitter
people.
Is for the elite. Is for the.
Oh yeah, wow. You are going to make Twitter people feel like they are elite. I don't want to say anything about Twitter people before I'm being a cut off live. That sound in that time. Juice was really big.
Yeah.
So YC, I actually thought YC was worth like $1.5 million at some point.
Well,
there was a thing. I'm sure you heard at that point.
The tiny conversation. I don't know exactly what happened, but whatever it was, it wasn't like it wasn't making money. Jagaban was out there.
Yeah.
You know, Juice came out. I think he had
two Jagabans. There's the hardcore Jagaban. Oh no, where you go, girl? I'm a Jagaban. You don't know that song?
I don't know, but
why is he has two Jagabans
now? The first wave, his album, the first EP now, had a song with a couple songs. It had an international feature.
Yeah.
There's a song I like on that EP, Wavy. It really went out on
that. Yeah, I like Wavy too. I like Wavy. Waving. So 2016, and thinking about it now, when I see the production credits and I see Kobabs or Suko, I'm like, okay, this is good. And the thing is, I'm going to be serious, the first time Meiji came out, I'm probably one of the first people that actually like really liked the song. Like, I just liked it, but I'm still saying it's short term. It didn't do so well for a very long time. You know, I like sharp everywhere though, you know. Move on from the music sound, and I think that's one of the things that has affected Tijan to date. You know, there's a problem with artists when you drop one particular song and the song is so good, especially when it's your debut. It's so hard to beat that song. Do you understand? It's so hard to beat that song, and I think that's what happened to Tijan, because I feel Tijan should be one of those artists that, I mean, we're just in 2020. This guy became a big thing 2016.
But then
he should still be like, I know the lag time for Nigerian artists is 4 years.
I can understand if any artist popped for 1 year, 2 years, and stop popping.
I don't like that.
You might not like I'm it, just but going to be sincere, we're in that climate. This is the climate. So you are blessed to be an artist to be popping for 5 years straight, to be dropping.
So are we going to say this? Are we going to say any artist that stays
and it's over not really 5 years? Talent.
Are we going to say any artist that stays over 5 years in the Nigerian music industry should be referred to as a great artist?
No, not exactly.
Should we refer to them as stellar artists?
No. What I'm trying to say is, we're in an industry where you have to be strategic. That's why people like Olamide can't stop. You have to be dogged, because you are popping for 2 weeks, there is a new song out. I'm sure it's like that in most other places, in the US as well. But we're in a climate where you have to stay active. Your strategy has to be singles come out back to back, album comes out, I'm doing this radio run, I'm doing these shows, I'm getting a few shows. If I'm not getting shows, I have this pattern of coming back to stay relevant.
But so, don't you think what happens?
So it's a lot of work. So it's not like I'm blaming artists for not staying long.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you are blessed to be able to have your strategy work out properly so that you are here for 10 years and still popping.
Well, what I don't really like,
there are many names that come to mind.
Yeah.
Rick Hassani was popping at the time.
Yeah, 2018, 2019.
Had to take a break. There are many of them.
No, if even I YC no, is not the some, prime some, YC that some artists, watch. Some artists that get to take a break, I understand. Now I'm not saying I understand that the climate is harsh. Like where we like how we are listening to music right now. There has to be that turn of sound, like, you know, we move from the regular Nigerian sound to pom pom pom, and then there was Afro pop at some point, and then we are now listening to Afro beats now. So basically, I'm just saying, as a musician, there's one thing that all musicians, all artists, they would say. They'll say, okay, I'm all around, I'm going to change with time. We only have few artists, I'm talking about generally now, we have few artists that have done that. I'm talking all the way back from the likes of, that's why I respect people like Snoop Dogg so much. Snoop Dogg changed with time. 88, Snoop Dogg was a different person. 99, Snoop Dogg was a different person. 2000, Snoop Dogg was a different person. 2020, Snoop Dogg is a different person. And that's like over three decades. And you know, that's one of the things I understand. Look at Jay-Z. Jay-Z is a rapper. He switched at some point. Okay, you know what I'm going to need to do? And then we call Eminem. But we can't talk about all those people right now. We're talking about Nigerian artists. That's why I give props to people like, you know, D'Banj. D'Banj did it at some point. D'Banj went 2 decades, you know, rough it here and there.
And then updated
his updated, exactly. Sound. Changed the sound. Like, you know what? I'm not going to sound like this anymore. These guys are not feeling just the entertainment the vibes anymore.
Look at the range from Tongolo, Why Me era.
Yeah.
Mobolo 1-1
era. Emergency.
To Emergency.
That Emergency.
That was, I'm sure he has other songs.
Yeah, other songs, yeah. But we're looking at that
between
timeline.
Between that timeline, you had Endowed somewhere. You had Oliver Twist somewhere. So the sound was changing with time. So
I'm not really against Empty Jam, but
look,
I feel
at
like
Two-Face's reign.
Yeah.
Two-Face should be studied. You and I together, baby.
I feel Two-Face should
went
be studied.
Went all the way to Amaka.
And did Oyi. And did Oyi.
I mean, so
and did
Gaga Shuffle
and did Okpo.
Yeah, Okpo with Wizkid. He updated the sound, which I mean, that's why I talk about strategy. You might not be making the money. It's always a blessing if you're making the money and you have the industry at your beck and call. When you drop the song, people want to listen. You must work hard to earn that. So
the reason why I'm saying this, maybe
some,
it's because
some artists are not lucky. Let's get back to YouTube.
Maybe that's how I want to get back to. That's maybe the reason why I'm talking about is maybe because I had too much hopes for Tijan. I'm not saying the man is not doing okay. Yeah, I'm very sure he has a couple of sounds out that I probably do not know about. You understand? And because I've not been
talking about Skybe.
Skybe is still doing some stuff,
dropped,
man.
Something last year.
Yeah,
but the industry didn't listen.
Didn't listen. Yeah, because obviously I'm very sure people in PH actually listened. You know, but that's where it stopped. Like the sound did not migrate. You understand? But that's what I'm saying. I think the reason why I'm at this point, because I when I heard that Tijan song, I'm like, okay, this guy is gonna drop. I feel, you know, there's some artists that you don't need to do too much. Let's talk about Wandy Cole, for example. Wandy Cole has not been the best in terms of how good he should be. But Wandy Cole has given us...
But he's not doing badly, though.
That's what I'm saying. But you see, Wandy Cole is not a legend because of body of works. But Wandy Cole can be called a legend for staying that long in the game. I know a lot of people are going to be against this, but we can say that Wandy Cole will say...
What's the hold up on the legendary status?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. People are always saying legendary status is always attached to body of work.
How active you were.
Active you were for a very long time. Yeah. But, you know, Wandy Cole will come in, drop. I remember there was a year we didn't hear Wandy Cole till like towards the end of the year. And he dropped two songs. And those songs were the songs from November all the way to next July.
Remember Shima Queen.
Yeah.
Remember Rotate.
This year it dropped again.
This Kaba
went crazy. Yeah. Dropped again. Again alone went crazy. Again, it's still a song that you play now. You're like, whoa, solid. Classic
Sometimes
jam.
Sometimes I feel it's a hard task for those OGs to keep up.
That's what I'm saying. Not even keeping up right now. When you stick to your sound, when you like your sound. When Tijan came in with Aduke, it was a fresh sound. Mm-hmm. I remember that was, you know, I liked it.
It was a love song.
It didn't sound like the usual we had heard at that time. Mm-hmm. Not that we have not gotten songs like that before, but like as at that time, the rave at that time, it wasn't the come on. I mean, that was when techno was still dropping the techno vibes.
Yeah.
I'm talking 2015, 2016. Yeah. All those sounds were still everywhere. Everybody was dropping it, as in just the feel arm. Drop arm.
Yeah.
So you could get a hit for 2 months and that's it. Mm. Get hit for 2 weeks and that's it.
But techno had a really good time.
Yeah, 2015, 2016, techno was hot.
Techno was a man.
He did scratch up for body. He was as in, let me just be
Chris
dropping
beat
this.
Was
let
the
me
guy.
Just be doing all these sounds.
And Kublon was the guy who produced. No, B was she? I'm not sure. Pana was somewhere around. There's another song I'm trying to remember. Duro.
Pana was a particular sound for the streets.
Yeah. Not just the streets, it was spiritual in a way.
But first of all, it hit the streets first. And when the streets got it, then other people are like, man. I mean, I remember the first time I started, I didn't like Pana first. I'll just be truthful. I didn't like Pana first. But I got to like it. And not because I was
sick.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm like, no. I need to appreciate these guys, you know, sound. You get, maybe it's not my kind of music, because obviously I listen to
he really is
some kind of music.
To the Afrobeats.
Yeah, he
crossover.
That's something they have to acknowledge at some point.
For, Davido, Swaley and Drake.
Yeah, he did Davido at some point.
Yeah, produced that particular song. I'm trying to remember. Where Drake was dropping Yoruba. pressing your EKB. Before we get to the real conversation, speaking of collabs and, you know, we saw that move. I think it was 2014, 2015 when this Afrobeat switch over with Oju Elegba remix. Tijan sampling Omarion. What we see is that this is not okay. This is a production sample. How
yeah.
do we decipher.
I think it's a production sample. Really, just maybe I feel like
the flow was not taken.
Yeah. I feel like Kobam's heard supposed to be loved the rhythm and the vibe and just, you know, I was. But one thing I do like and I really loved about it is they made the, cause supposed to be sound so American.
Yeah.
Meiji doesn't sound American. Can you can hear the
but the vibe is American.
But there's still, it was redefined.
In a way.
You can't say, you can't, you know, there's, you know, we said something earlier. I think you said it before. There are different kinds of sampling. There's a sample of I take a part of the song, we do it, and a sample of take major part and let it do the work.
Yeah.
That's not what happened in this case.
Okay, let me understand very well. The beats,
imagine, it's like Juicy. They took off, although Juicy is even too much, because Juicy is the entire bass line, entire like bass of the song. They just added hats and kicks.
Yeah.
But in this one, there's a whole lot of tuning here and there. Yeah, like I'm really actually changing this.
Real work being done.
And I'm
then the verses,
change this.
The verses,
and then the verses didn't, you know,
they're different.
Yeah, totally.
Different.
There's nothing.
But then how do you come about a sample like? How do you differentiate this from a cover?
It's not a cover. The cover is Heavy D covering Third World's Now That We Found Love. It's like Fugees covering Roberta Flack.
Whitney Houston.
Killing Me Softly. Whitney Houston covering Doris Day. Dolly Parton.
That's clear.
This guy, what's his name? Elvis Presley covering Big Mama Thornton. That's old. I'm talking OG stuff now.
So why is this really, really different? Because the beat sounds the same.
That's why it's sampling. I mean, sampling is like, there's a new element brought into play. Mm. It's not the same thing. You can literally rip off both beats and you know they sound the same, but they are not the same.
Well, let people listen and then decipher. I'm sure people already know.
Yeah. Omarion supposed to be, let's talk about Omarion supposed to be before we play the song. So
it was
think?
A big song, yeah?
It was too big. You know, I didn't realize how big it was. I knew I loved the song and I knew it was big. I knew I jammed it for close to 6 months, almost 6 months. I knew it was one of those songs that, you know, bounce to be. I just wanted to listen, and I remember the
that
video was hot as well
by Zoni Aiko.
Yeah, and I remember
if the booty like groceries.
Yeah,
and that's the best part of the song.
Oh god, I was really trying not to say anything about that part, but no,
it is. What
yeah,
it is.
I was really trying to, you know, not say that.
I mean, she brought a different verse.
I think it's her best.
Her verse was the best on the.
Song. Yeah. She
maybe not the best, but Omarion.
I really liked Chris Brown. I liked Chris Brown. Oh yeah, don't forget, you also said something. Chris Brown beat off of a bit of Chakadibos and Prayers from 92.
Just a tiny bit, but I used it twice.
Murder She Wrote.
Murder She Wrote.
Yeah. That's from Chakadibos and Prayers in 1992. Ah man, I wish I could play that song. Can we play that song?
We'll find a way to snip it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, because yeah. I just want people to just vibe that song.
Yeah, cool stuff. Yeah. But then look at the range. Chakadibos
and Prayers. Please call Prayers. He took the chorus. Make you no fight too. Make you no fight too.
Chakadibos and Prayers.
Yeah.
In 92, Chris Brown in 2014, Biting Them.
Yeah.
Omarion, who has been popping for a while.
Before, yeah, as at 206, it was B2K from 99.
Yeah.
It was part of B2K 99. Yeah. I remember he did a couple of movies in 2004.
Yeah.
He Got Served, that was really big, and that made him big.
We're talking Tijan, Nigerian artist,
guy, 2 years later.
Too
close for me, though.
Yeah, too close, because you could tell that supposed to be was must have been so big, still popping in 2016.
Like we say every time, Nigeria, we take over a year. To, not like now,
maybe not really. Them. I feel they may have been working on the song for a year.
Yeah, but we listen to the stuff for a year at least. So I'm sure that time they said, okay, this beat is really hot. We can actually do something with this, and then they sat down together to make something happen.
Let's talk briefly about that song by Chakadibos. How big was it?
Murder She Wrote. Murder She Wrote was so big. Was so big, it entered every corner. Let me tell you, see, there's a battle of in 1992. 1992 was a good year for Jamaican artists bringing out songs. We have people like Shinehead doing Try My Love in 1992 with Intro, that was led by Kenny Green. Shinehead released Sidewalk University in 1992. That was a big album, even though Shinehead is originally from England. He came into the Bronx, got into the vibe. I remember I've told you about this before. The Bronx idea of Jamaica and everything. He's originally from Jamaica but was born in England. So when he got to the Bronx, he got fused in with the Jamaican vibes immediately. And being that you're naturally a Jamaican person, he got into the vibe. So it was different from the guys in the Caribbean, the Chakadibos and the Players. Do you understand? So he's a merger of good classical music and Jamaican vibes. But Shinehead releasing Jamaican in New York. I'm very sure you know that song. I'm a Jamaican in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a cover of Sting's version, Englishman in New
York.
That's
one I know.
That's Sting's version. He covered that song. But in 1992, he did Sidewalk University, and the first song of Sidewalk University was Try My Love. Try My Love was a banging. It was, you know, those fuse of 90s vibe and reggae music. So it was hard for you. And then all of a sudden,
I can't get the picture perfectly, but I was probably 4 or 5 years old. It was a birthday party. We were leaving. This was Lagos. This song was playing.
Yeah.
Every birthday party had this song. I don't know which other songs were popping at the time, but I'm talking 96, 97, 98. Yeah, I was very young. This was around the time when we had, you know, that song. I don't know who sang it up until recently, but I knew it was in the streets. It was popping.
It was big.
Let's play those songs. We play Omarion featuring Jhené Aiko and Chris Brown first, supposed to be. And that song later had a remix with Rick Ross, Ledge Love, Ty Dolla $ign, and one of Omarion's biggest.
I think we should give quick production credits to DJ Mustard. Over 6 years, he's still doing quite
same
well.
Same Mustard.
Yeah.
That did
Mustard on the beat. Yeah. Wow. Balling, yeah. He did that.
How will royalties exchange hands here? Maybe not.
Omarion and Mustard.
I'm saying
For Tijan to
Kubams and
not happening, bruh.
No, how did you tell?
I would be shocked.
Someone was actually telling me that all of these things must be documented. Either you get
it
permission,
would be documented.
Either you write to the publishers.
It would be documented. But in this case, if you're going to collect anything, it has to be Mustard that will get paid.
Okay.
Because Mustard produced the beat.
And the beat was sampled.
Yeah, and the beat was sampled. So Mustard gets
paid. How do they decipher this thing?
Yeah, because it's obvious. Like,
what if Omarion had bought entirely whatever negotiation they had with Mustard?
Omarion was signed to EMI at that point, which means he probably does not own his masters.
I mean, it'd be teens in this industry. It'd be real teens. Yeah. And I really would like to know how these things work.
2014, EMI, I'm very sure. He was signed to EMI.
Let's play Omarion's Supposed to Be and then play Tijan featuring YC Meiji. This is the Sample Access Podcast. We'll be right back. Omarion, breezy.
If y'all chick come close to me, she ain't going home where she supposed to be. I'm getting money like I'm supposed to be. I'm getting money like I'm supposed to be. Oh, all my niggas close to me, and all them other niggas where they supposed to be. Oh, the go for me, how your chicks in the pit like post for me. Oh, that's how I supposed to be. Yeah, that's how I supposed to be. Yeah, that's how I supposed to be. Everything look like it's supposed to be. Pull up to the club and it go up. Make your girl fall in love when I show up. It's not my fault, she wanna know me. She told me you was just a hummer. She came down.
Ladies and gentlemen, usually I don't do this, but I had to come out for this one. Y'all know, baby, you know what it is.
It's DJ. You already know what the deal is. You already know this is how we do. I'm about to push it to the limit. So get ready now, watch me go. I'm gonna party tonight. I'm gonna party tonight. This time, nothing can stop me tonight. Nothing can stop me tonight. We gon' party like we don't give a what. Where's your drink?
Back to the Sample Access podcast, and yeah, you just listened to Tijan featuring YC, Meiji, and Omarion, supposed to be featuring Gina Aiko and Chris Brown. I feel like we didn't talk enough about Omarion, so let's quickly do that before we get into High Five and Meiji. Omarion was so big at some point, we really thought like he was going to be one of the artists. And if you look at the time, when you look at longevity for Omarion, I think he has it. It's just that,
yeah, but there was a lot of.
Oh, because Omarion has been active since 1999. Mm. B2K, Boys Into the New Millennium, doing numbers, you understand? Doing big numbers at that time. Not big numbers, but they were toying with Lil Bow Wow. Wow. Bow Wow at that point was...
I was trying to remember, because sometimes I take them for each other. Bow Wow and
yeah,
Omarion.
Yeah, Omarion.
Was Omarion... Okay, there is Mario somewhere too.
Yeah, Mario, Let Me Love You.
Yo, these guys are too much. There are too many. No,
but you can. They are distinctive. Like you can actually see.
Yeah,
them apart.
But at some point, because I wasn't so.
Let me explain it to you. Omarion is dark skinned boy.
That's Bow Wow is the short one.
But they are all short. Really? Mario Bow Wow is there. They are short.
Yeah.
But
what was the difference? Bow Wow was really hip hop.
Bow Wow is Bow Wow Wow. Yippee yo, yippee
yo.
Where my dogs at?
That was a sick song for such a young boy.
Yeah, as at that time, Bow Wow did a couple of songs afterwards. Yeah. I mean, I know he did Ludacris. He did a couple of.
Hold on a second. Was Cassidy at the same time?
Let's just say yes.
But Cassidy is more streets.
It's them cannibals kind of people.
Yeah.
But like, look at those guys of that time. They had like everything working for them. Mm. I mean, this B2K was part of the last black boy band we had, you know, which is going to bring us into what we're going to talk about right now, which is a very exciting topic for me, because I didn't know we would align these two people together.
Yeah,
trust me,
that.
The same thing. I was going to talk about the fact that the first time I heard this sound,
which shows that Nigerian sounds, Nigerian musicians, or Nigerian people
listen to me,
were listening to the same thing.
Yeah,
it's surprising when you told me that. This part of Meiji's song came from High Life.
I was High Five.
High Five. I didn't know there was a group called High Five.
Let me tell you the story. See, I've been listening to High Five for over 10 years now.
Wow.
Legit over 10 years. Reason being, of course, High Five, they're old school. So, but the song I know High Five for, which is their signature, is I Like the Way. That's the Kissing Game. That's the song in bracket, the Kissing Game. Amazing song. Every Throwback Thursday, Flashback Friday, if you are playing proper, cool mushy songs like the Boys to Men, All for One, you know, all those guys,
Westlife
stuff. You have to play High Five, because that beginning of High Five alone was magical. And then you think about, you know, they were one of the bands of that time, and that's what I remember, because Omarion, I was talking about Omarion before I moved into this, Omarion being like he didn't do so well or as much as we have thought of, but Omarion is still active. This is 2020. That's about 21 years in the game, and Omarion is still there. So there's an album coming out very soon, and I hope Omarion would get, you know, the respect he deserves, because he's actually very good, a good musician. I think one of those things that was against him was the fact that he's very dark-skinned. People don't talk really about don't it so agree, much.
But maybe because I don't know the industry that well, but I just feel...
Come on, we know the industry. The industry this is all about this is something skin tone.
Hold on a second. This is one thing. Apart from skin tone, in Nigeria, people were saying that Tiwa Savage's album did not do as well as Burna Boy's album.
Oh, okay.
This was a Twitter conversation 2 months ago. Okay. Tiwa Savage dropped Celia. Some people were saying because she's a lady, people are not streaming her music as much as they did Burna Boy or as they did other people.
Understandable.
Which is what you are doing, or what people try to do, is because it's dark. It's because it's a
woman. No, hold on. I was talking about people. Okay. You are putting
people,
me
a lot of this is not just music. People like sentimental things. People like to attribute. I might be wrong, but I see a lot of these.
But the climate is
excuses.
The climate is not. Is
now
not
let
cool.
me just make this point. When people threw up that argument that, oh, because Tiwa is a woman. Of course, people were bashing that particular person who said that the industry doesn't support women. I'm saying Burna Boy's production.
But does the music industry in Nigeria
let me just
respect women though? Let's be sincere.
We can debate that, but let's not turn the conversation over its head.
Okay.
By saying, oh, because she's a woman, they don't listen to her. Celia is a great album. But will it do as much? Will it do numbers like Twice as tall?
I doubt it.
Maybe not. Why am I saying this? Because rollout strategy is different. Because discography is different. Burna Boy has been on this for a minute. I'm not trying to say that Tiwa has not. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. Red Album by Tiwa did not do as big as Outside. Did not do as big as African Giant. So Burna Boy had this consistent or this build up to this big TAT album that we see now. What am I trying to say? Let's appreciate what people have. If you're streaming 200 million streams or whatever the number is, and that's your cap for now, let's appreciate the body of work that Tiwa did and not say people are not streaming enough because she's a woman. No, that's not true. People supported Tems. When Tems was ready to go, people loved Try Me. People loved the album. People always support Tiwa as well. People tweeted her stuff and all that. There might be some politics somewhere. Goes back to Omarion. We talked about Tijan just a while ago. Some people might just not be that stellar, no matter what. Some people might not be as lucky. I'm just saying that appreciate what you have. Tijan came, saw, dropped hit better than some other people. He might not have that longevity. It's like Wandeko, like we said.
Yeah.
We are yet to give him that legendary status
because of one
or two things. Does that take away from his glory? No.
No, it doesn't.
So let's appreciate individual
efforts. To me, I think Wandeko should be a legend.
Yeah.
In fact,
maybe we should stop using these languages anymore. Let's appreciate people for the small wins, for the medium wins, for the big, big wins. There's a song by Koffi. Gratitude is the most. We thank God for the journey. The blessings is just a plus.
Yeah.
The fact that you're in music, people can hear you in Japan, people can hear you in London.
That's a blessing. Blessings, yeah.
The blessing, fact that you can get shows, you can get these people who love you, who are inspired by your music. So, Omarion, look at how happy or how fulfilled he looks.
He
might not have made so much noise,
glory, or like big, Chris big Brown, sound.
But
yeah.
We can appreciate. I mean, T-Pain went broke and came back. T-Pain was the hip hop chorus guy at some point.
After they dog,
everybody,
T-Pain.
Cash Money, Young Money, Cash Money, everybody doing hip hop had T-Pain on the chorus.
Yeah.
But he went broke all the way down.
Yeah, almost minus too.
And then he came back.
It's even like Kanye too, you know. Kanye about 4 or 5 years ago was like, what, in debt of $53 million. So, currently, they are saying his asset is over like $5 billion.
So it's not about, I mean, Banky brought Whiskey out.
Yeah, and Whiskey is way bigger than Banky.
MI gave Whiskey his first feature. I'm not sure about this, but this is like the first big Whiskey, Fast Money, Fast Cars.
Mm.
But then why is Whiskey where's MI?
Yeah.
But does that take away from MI's glory?
No.
Everybody's winning. Everybody's doing
amazing.
Yeah,
we have to respect that. We have to respect that.
Omarion, I see a lot of comments, oh, his skin tone is dark, but Trey Song is dark too.
I'm not just talking about the skin tone thing. I know that was one of the things they pointed out, which is what I wanted to get to, which we are going to get to when we get into the High Five and Maydee part. I think that the industry doesn't take a lot of slacks. Do you understand? Mm. talking, we just talked about Mario. Mario was at some point, "You should let me love you." That was the song everywhere. And then poof, poof, Mario was gone. We don't know Mario again. Where's he? Like, he might have been releasing records, probably still going on tours, mm-hmm. but like, we don't mess with the sound anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm sure the guy will say, "You know what? I made a couple of millions." It's like mm-hmm. Nelly. Mm-hmm. Nelly came, you know, boy from you know, the southern part of the country, mm-hmm. sounding like a southern boy, comes in and just blows everybody out of the water. And Nelly owns, there's a basketball team. He's a part owner of a basketball team. Mm. His money is still talking for him.
Yo, chameleon here.
Yeah, no.
He's not doing music anymore. Baba is in tech.
Yeah.
Investing in tech, making solid money. So when we don't see them out there,
it doesn't mean that they are like, you know, all good. And yeah, you said something that I'm really, really happy about. You said Omarion is always happy. Mm. You can see in his face, yeah.
There's positivity.
Oh, you know, this morning I was actually thinking about something. I discovered that for musicians and everybody, like humans, we have three kind of lives you are going to live. Mm. Is that you live a peaceful life, a fulfilling life, or what's the there was a third one, an okay life. Mm. It's three ways. You have to pick one of them.
Peaceful,
fulfilling, okay. Fulfilling is not going to be peaceful all around. Mm. There's going to be a whole lot of bad stuff going on. Mm. But you would be fulfilled. The reason why I was thinking about that was because I saw a movie, The Trial of Chicago 7. Mm. Powerful stuff. Do you understand? Oh God, the opening sequence of that movie was perfect. They talk about a lot of stuff, you understand? And that's why I'm sorry I'm digressing, but I just want to explain, because it talks about music as well. Do you know what I'm saying? So they talk about Martin Luther King. There was a part where Bobby Seale, that's one of the founders of Black Panther at some point. Mm. I mean Black Panther, the party, not Black Panther, the film. Movie. He was saying something about there's a difference between being peaceful and being fulfilled. Martin Luther King, assassinated. Mm. Malcolm X, died. He called a couple of other people dead. Mm. Would they say they lived a peaceful life? No. Did they say they lived a fulfilled life?
Yes.
Heck yeah.
Because for years to come,
their names are going to be set. And because they did things, they made moves. You understand? Mm. So the same way with musicians. Some musicians are going to have, you know, sweet, you know, vibe and everything But some people are just going to do it and go. Mm. Look at Marvin Gaye. He was killed. Marvin Gaye had great music. I mean, Marvin Gaye won his first Grammy 2 months before he died. Yeah, 2 months before he died, his first Grammy. Do you know who Marvin Gaye is in the music industry? Marvin Gaye had 7 albums before 1970.
I just feel awards don't.
Yeah, that's what it is. Awards, yeah.
Because of everybody's artistry. A few people can get Grammys.
Yeah.
But then there are other underground.
Terry Lewis, people. Jimmy Jam, one of the best songwriters of all time, from 1981 till present.
Does Akon have a Grammy yet?
I don't know, he should. I can't even think about it. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis have over 35 to 40 US number one hits. Usher, You Remind Me, I'm sure you know that song. They wrote that song. SOS, that I used to talk about all the time. High Hopes, their first hit in 1981. Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam wrote that song. How many Grammys do they have? 5. Would they say they live a fulfilled life in terms of glory and everything?
I just found out Rick Ross don't have a Grammy yet.
I don't think Rick Ross needs a Grammy.
I mean,
that man is purely blessed, man.
He was nominated on a song where he talked about not having a Grammy. Song Gold Roses with Drake. That song is powerful. Part of Miami.
I don't think
album.
I'm going to talk for Rick Ross in this case. Say Rick Ross,
yo,
you don't need a Grammy.
There's a part of the song where he says,
I mean, Iggy Azalea.
Something nominated, but then
Iggy Azalea
he was nominated,
has a Grammy.
Someone else took the Grammy. So it goes back to what we were saying.
Yeah.
Don't wait for validation.
Do your stuff.
Don't wait for 1 billion streams.
Yeah.
If your circle of friends as an upcoming artist can appreciate your craft,
that means there's something good about it. And you're being truthful.
And that shows that you can make progress from there. So yeah, we can appreciate the small wins and see, you know, what comes after that.
Yeah, let's get back to sampling. I mean, yes, this is getting amazing. High five, yeah. Now we're talking about it now. This is a very interesting conversation. I think the first time I heard Madee's soundtrack, I was in a bus. I was going to Ikeja. I remember the day very well. I was sitting out with a girl. Her name is Gift. Because I just want to explain how paint the picture for you. I was in what's the name? Charlie Boy bus stop, heading towards Oshodi. And but it was Ikeja I was going to. I had to pass the military barracks in Ikeja in Cantonment. People that are illegal understand what I'm saying. As we entered, I just heard, you know, they were playing a song before. I can't remember the particular song exactly, but you know, one of these Yoruba songs, and then they switched. And I heard, I'm like, wait, what's this? Why does this sound new but also very weird? And in her head, me take her to my room, me give her the boom, boom, boom. I'm like, no, this is wrong. What's going on here? Yeah. And it stuck. And I'm like, I remember Gift that time. I know Gift, she's an amazing model right now. Shout out to her. If she's listening to this, I love you, Gift. You know, she went crazy for the song. Mm. Just the first time listening to the song. Do you understand? And it became a thing for her. You know, I knew her, like, I saw her later on, you know, doing videos. She was one of those, you know, first of people that would do videos that time, put it online and everything. And from there, you know, girls loved the song.
This was 20.
2011. Mm. Girls loved the song and it became a hit. And we were like, who is this guy? Do you understand? Came from nowhere. Now, I've been listening to this song since the very first day it was released. 9 years later, sitting down in my room, playing the song with a friend of mine. And I wasn't even playing Mayday's soundtrack. I was playing High Fives, I Like the Way. Hmm. And the girl sitting down with me, I remember I told you about Stephanie, my friend, that we talked about last time. So
you have them. You have a lot of them.
Yeah, I have lots of friends, man. Amazing girls. God
Gift
bless
and
you.
Stephanie. Shout out to you.
Shout out to y'all. Yeah, so we're listening, and then she's like, wait, Nelson. I know
something
this song.
Something is happening right now.
Because I play the song again. And I'm like, okay, let's play it. I play High Five again from the beginning. She's like, Nelson, there's a song.
Inside that song.
Inside this song that I've heard before. And then I went on and she's like, we argued for a while. I think I texted you immediately and I did that. This song, there's somewhere. And I was thinking about it. And then she said something like, I think, and the guy was signed to P-Square at some point. Mm-hmm. That's she cannot even remember. Mm-hmm. She cannot even remember who he was. As at that time. I'm talking about 2020, just so you know. And media has already done mono dollar level, you know. And I played soundtrack again, of course. The memory was refreshed. I remember that particular day going to Oshodi.
But this is a tiny sample, maybe that's why it was hard for you to find.
But still, it's very evident because when you, I'm sure you listen to High Fives, I Like the Way.
Yeah,
if you heard that sound, it's the same way, like the same pattern. It's difficult for you to take a song and sing it the same way, like the same arrangement of the song, the rhythm, the medley, everything, that particular small part, he did it the same way. Do you understand?
What space was Mady in at that time? He was signed to Square Records.
Yeah, it was Square Records at that time.
Which
that's
has
early
later
days.
Become like, you know, drama now.
Yeah, lots of drama. I mean, I'm happy for him. He's in DMW
now.
That,
but his first breakout was...
That's the first song.
Really?
Yeah, soundtrack was the first.
The most popular was the feature with Akon that I know.
Akon was later. It was after soundtrack.
Chop My Money.
It was after soundtrack.
So soundtrack came out on the Square Records.
That was the first song that unveiled Mady to the world.
How do we describe his sound? Because it's different. R&B, it was different from even P-Square.
Drag R&B. If there's a word like that.
One of the things that can identify him with his voice.
Yeah. I mean, his voice is very, very, and it's very distinctive.
Tiny.
We'd hear Mady everywhere and be like, this is Mady. And that's why it makes a whole lot of sense that Mady would have listened to High Five. Funny story is, we might end up discovering that, you know, there are some samples that happen unconsciously.
Yeah.
He might have heard High Five before. Funny story, he might be a big fan of High Five. I do not know.
Mm.
But he might have heard High Five at some point. Obviously, I told you, Throwback Thursdays, Flashback Fridays, High Fives on those. When it comes to Mushi,
some of those guys have these tapes in their home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would not be surprised if Mady says, I'm a big fan of High Five. Because thinking about High Five and Mady, you have heard their song now. Is there so much difference in terms of the Mushi weird vibe?
Mady is not all that Mushi,
no,
though.
High Five.
Those High Five guys were too Mushi for me.
High Five, don't forget, I'll tell you about this song. Now, this High Five song, you know, I've told you I've listened for a very long time. It was written by Teddy Riley. And Bernard Bell. Now Teddy Riley himself is the pioneer, him together with Babyface, they are the pioneers of New Jack Swing. So that sound was, as at that time, this is 1990, New Jack Swing was from 1987 when they released Guy I Like. There was Rex Effect, there was this guy Johnny Kemp, you know, lots of songs that came out at that point that led us into the 90s. But I Like the Way was a different sound. It was New Jack Swing, but a new type of New Jack Swing as in 1990s, because it sounded too slow. New Jack Swing was pop, 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 and then, you know, they made it so cool. And then, obviously, the voice of Tony Thompson, amazing artist. R.I.P. to Tony Thompson.
As a lead vocalist.
Yeah, he died 13 years ago.
Wow.
January 13 years ago. The death was actually very sad, very, very sad one.
Yeah.
He was in his room, inhaled a couple of stuff, ferronin or something, and he died.
High dosage.
Yeah, high dosage AC. The AC went wrong with the AC.
Hold on. One of those. He wasn't drugging.
No, he was drugging, but like that wasn't not what killed him.
So
sad.
Sad situation. High Five was a group.
Yeah. I think you should talk about High Five. I know you know
yeah.
some stuff, so we should talk about High Five too.
The vibe they gave me when I was watching their stuff on YouTube is mindless behavior. With a karma. The senior brothers of mindless.
These guys are really good. I'm sure you know they are very good.
Yeah, but I saw a few songs, like up to 5 songs. Can't recall all of them.
I can't be waiting.
But the vibe,
I'm sure you saw.
I got the Westlife vibe.
I'm sure you saw. She's Playing Hard to Get. I'm very sure you listened to that
definitely,
one.
Definitely.
Yeah, those are the. I can't.
But they gave this vibe of this Westlife vibe with you know. But they are black. So yeah. what's the difference? Who are they competing with?
Should we quickly talk groups? I know we said something about certain talking groups.
Let's talk about the groups that were popping at that time. This was 1990 to 1994.
Okay, the groups. Groups 1990-1994. Guy, the Boys. The Boys is them. Abdul Samad Brothers. That's the Boys. Intro. Mm-hmm. Intro led by Kenny Green. Bell Biv DeVoe. That's a subgroup of New Edition.
What genre were these doing?
R&B New Jack Swing. There I'm talking all R&B, R&B New Jack Swing. Everybody has at that era that was a group.
Corner, there was
Hip Hop Corner is the, you know, the new guys are coming in.
There's
N.W.A. Jay-Z was coming into effect. Nas,
Biggie Tupac.
Snoop Dogg was coming out of his element as well.
Different genre
entirely. But we're talking about the Cute Boys.
Yeah.
Like, Soul 40 was about to come out 2-3 years after that time. Soul 40 was going to come out and be big. We had Soul to Soul. We had Brand New Heavies.
So the older guys were retiring here.
Yeah, as at this point, Dynasty had got out of making music entirely. Shalama were at their prime; they didn't do anything anymore. When I mean, no, it's not the prime anymore. They already finished what they had to do.
We talk about SOS Band,
Atlanta already. Atlanta was still active then, but
that was in their prime.
But it wasn't their prime, not because they were not good, but because. This
Something
lady
had
left.
Changed.
Yeah, she left. They are lead, and which is what I want to talk about afterwards. Mm. Barbara Withers has left already. Our lady that took Silver Shadow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she had left the group already, so the group was not as strong anymore. So they were still making music, but not as strong.
Jackson 5.
Nah, Jackson 5 already went.
Michael was preparing for Twitter.
1990. Michael just dropped the. Now, look, as you just said it now, I think I have to say it. This is one of the reasons why Michael Jackson is nobody's mate. A new genre of music was made in 1987. Michael Jackson dropped an album with a new genre. And it's the highest selling album ever of that new genre. Can you please put that into, you know...
So it moved from soul?
No, it moved from R&B and, you know, pop. R&B and pop, because Michael Jackson, the king of pop, came to New Jack Swing and bodied everybody. The highest selling album of New Jack Swing is Michael Jackson's album.
Which of Michael Jackson's popular songs would align with New Jack Swing?
Remember the Time. Do you remember the time when we've Dangerous to his New Jack Swing. Dangerous is New Jack Swing.
The World was
The World is too soulful. That's a beautiful song.
So bands now.
Talking about bands.
Go too far from High Five. So yeah, what's their impact generally? Like I said,
High Five.
I was comparing because the way I saw 4 or 5 boys.
Yeah.
The whispers came to mind. The grandfathers.
Not
the grandfathers, but the fathers.
I think when we're going to start from groups, there's this particular group. I can't remember their name now, but from that group. There was a group in the 40s, and then after that, you were talking about Ray and his band, Little Richard and his band. Those were groups, and then you come, but those ones were not proper groups because they had a lead, and other guys were just there as instrumentalists. But talking about proper groups, we're talking about the Four Tops, that did Bernadette. We're talking about the OJs. Then we come down to the Whispers, and then we do maybe Jackson 5, Manhattans, Village People. And I'm sure you have heard of Village People before. Because I know you like all these names that are weird. We have lots of them like that. The Bernadettes too. Then we have the girls, Supremes.
The ones I know. Just look at the High Five generation.
Remember the High Five generation? The time when it was about to get extinct.
Behavior of their time.
They were quintet to five guys.
Led
by Tony Thompson, as I said earlier.
Let me talk briefly about Mindless Behavior and groups generally. Mindless Behavior was, you know, they were new. Vibe, Young Boys, and they broke up, they stopped popping.
What happens to, I'm going to use the words of James Mtume, big respect to the big man himself and James Mtume. There's one thing about groups which has always been a problem forever. There are only few groups that I can think of in my head right now that has stayed longer than 10 years. Sky, the OJs, the Manhattans, the Temptations. Now, when I mean some of these groups, except from Sky and the OJs, that they remain the same group. These other groups, they changed. There was a change. The worst group in terms of change, the name of the group is Change. That group had so many artists, Jocelyn Brown, Luther Vandross. They were always changing just to keep up that group mentality. Even Kool & the Gang. Yeah, Kool & the Gang is one of those groups. At some point, James J.T. Taylor left the group. And there's one thing James Mtume said. James Mtume said, if you realize all those groups, that's why James Mtume, the moment Tawata Aji was about to go solo, James Mtume stopped the band. Because he didn't want the same thing that happened to other bands to happen to his band. Because he had already studied the music industry. The moment you take one person off, the only group that survived it for a very long time is the Temptations. The moment Dennis Edwards left the group and they replaced him with Oli Watkins, they made hits. They made sounds that Treat Her Like a Lady, My Love Is Waiting, songs like that, hits. Treat Her Like a Lady is a jam forever. And that was the first song Oli Watson made. No, Keep My Light in My Window is the first song he made. Oh, I have many records on my head. But then, like, you know, that's the thing about groups. The moment you remove the lead, it's almost sure that the lead is going to crumble. That's happened for a very long time. Like I said, another star were big, so good. But the moment Barbara Withers left the group, we had Daniel Lewis and Wayne Lewis.
Happened to Jackson 5.
Exactly, you remove Michael Jackson, the group is crippled.
In more recent times, One Direction.
One Direction too, yeah. Zayn Malik, yeah, that's One Direction.
Yeah, that's One Direction.
But not Zayn Malik was not the Zayn, guy. It was Harry Styles. Harry Styles left too, and the group crumbled.
Yeah.
He's like also Destiny's Child. Remove Beyonce, TLC. Maybe Lazy Eyes wasn't the lead, but Spice the moment Girls. Lazy Eyes died.
What's up with Spice Girls? I really don't.
Spice Girls. Tell me what you want. What happened to
they
them?
Break up.
They just got tired, man. Those guys got tired. So, like, Destiny's Child, TLC, Lizzie Eye left at some point. She died. R.I.P. to her. She died, and that was the end of the group. Because they were not feeling it anymore. So, it's really dicey when it comes to groups like that.
Maybe that's why we don't see them anymore.
Yeah, because, and it's no, that's not the reason why we don't see them anymore. The reason why we don't see them anymore is because, as at that time, when you make groups, I don't know how sure this is because I don't live in the US. I heard they cut down like music training in school. They don't give them as much money anymore. Most of these guys that used to come, I mean, High Five is from Texas. Tell them we're supposed to be musicians. Thinking about it, we had people that were coming from New York, you know. We had specific places where we wanted musicians to come from. I mean, the US guys, they were expecting me. Waco, Texas, come on, man.
Talking about Nigerian groups.
Yeah.
Do we?
The same thing happened to Nigerian groups.
Is there the a remedies between Plantation Boys?
Yeah.
The Remedies.
Remove Phase. The Remedies. Remove Ed Remedy. Ed Remedy was, that's the end of the group.
Star Plus recently. They didn't break up, but I think
Star Plus was green. Were changing at some point. They were trying to, you know, metamorphose to something else.
Olu had to break out of Maintain.
Yeah.
In a way.
No, Olu had to break out of Maintain. That's understandable. Olu's breaking out of Maintain was very understandable.
Yeah.
They needed, Olu needed to shine bright.
For real, we can talk about this all day long.
Yeah.
We can continue to talk. But then we wrap up production credits.
All right. The production credits are Teddy Riley produced High Five, I Like the Way, from the album High Five in the year 1990. Soundtrack, I really do not know who produced soundtrack, but I want to say somebody in Square Records. The album that I came with was Chapter One in 2013, even though the song was released in 2011. Omarion Post to Be featuring Jhené Aiko and Chris Brown was released in the year 2014, produced by DJ Mustard from the album Sex Playlist. That has to be one of those albums that actually did very well for Omarion after releasing. That was actually really good too, you know. Tijan and YC Meiji, produced by Kobam Tasuko, from the year 2016, just a single.
You can find my LinkedIn, Facebook, Buiga Adeoya, and on Twitter
@Wiga_Adeoye. I would like to hear from you regarding the podcast. Share with your friends. Tell us what you think.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at @NWAENIE N and on Instagram at @NWAENIE.Nelson.
It's Mr. Maydee. Yeah. Ha. Square Records, baby. Ooh. 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 Yeah. Me take her to my room. Me give her the boom boom boom. Bad girl got the biggest boom with size. The way to come trip me pass. A soundtrack, a soundtrack. Bad girl, give me the soundtrack. Now so the lady go. Ah, ah, ah. Now so the lady go. Ah, ah. Now so the lady go. Ah, ah. Now so the lady go. Ah, ah. A soundtrack, a sound. See you and me equal to two. Baby, what we gon' do? Have you ever seen a lion, lion chilling with a dog? I'm gonna have to chop, I'm gonna have to chop, I'm gonna go, 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 I'm gon